Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
And this morning on Ready, Steady, Learn, we've got Associate Professor Ping Du from the Auckland Bioengineering Institute at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Dr. Ping, how are you this morning?
Oh, kia ora, Rachel, and kia ora to all of our audience on 95DFM.
Hey, it's awesome.
The best radio station there is.
It is. Thank you very much. It's awesome to chat to you this morning. We're talking about the gut today and some really interesting research that you and your team at the ABI are doing into some of the kind of bioengineering and sort of gut electricity that goes on. Can you explain a little bit about this for someone like me who doesn't know a lot about this world?
Yeah, sure. So you can treat the gut, in general, the stomach, as a muscular organ, if you like, a bit of a muscular bag. So when the food we eat goes into it, it gets mixed with a lot of secretions and broken down into tiny pieces and ready for digestion. And that's basically how our body uptakes all the nutrients that we need to basically live and fight off against diseases, which is really, really relevant under the current environment.
So it is
a very important organ. Basically, that's where we get all of our energy from. But what I think most people don't know is that because the gut is a highly muscular organ, much like the heart, it's governed by an electrical event. So every time the gut muscle contracts, because of the movement of these charged particles called ions, the muscles themselves generate an electrical event. And this electrical event, if we can capture them, we can use it to tell about the sort of health of the gut.
That's so interesting. I think for a lot of people, they don't think about their gut very often, unless they're somebody who has to think about it because they have, problems with it or allergies or things like that, that means they are thinking about that often. Is this research that you're looking at something you're thinking will have very broad applications if it's useful?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the gut is one of those, what I consider fundamental organs in the body, although most all of our organs are pretty fundamental to us. But, you know, the fact you mentioned that most of us don't think about the gut, you know, most of our lives, it probably goes on to show how robust the gut actually is as an organ, because we don't think about it and it works so well. But it's all the more of a problem when something does bad happens to it. So you can think of these muscles, or rather these cells that have to generate these electrical events, as little power stations in the gut. And there are diseases in which these little power stations actually gets destroyed due to various of reasons. And as you can imagine, if you lose a little bit, it's not so bad. I mean, the gut is so robust that it can still maintain most of its functions if you have a little bit of loss of function. But it's when you lose a lot of these little power plants or pacemaker cells, that's when you lose the function of the gut. So the gut essentially stops moving, and then that's when you have a whole host of problems related to malnutrition. Basically, you don't get enough nutrients into your body, and there are a whole host of very sort of unpleasant symptoms you can imagine that are associated with gut conditions. This is especially a problem when these symptoms happen over a very long period of time.
Right. So is this the kind of thing that you're imagining this would be used proactively on people with healthy guts to see what's going on? Or is it on something that you'd imagine people who are starting to think maybe something is wrong, this is how they're going to use it to see what's going on? What's the application of this?
Sure. So under the current, research environment, we're very much focused on, how to recover functions when something did go wrong. So this is not something that we're currently applying in healthy people, although mm-hmm. healthy people, we do still study on to get a baseline data to compare, so we know what the gut looks like or this electrical activity look like when the gut does get sick. So currently we're trying to capture these electrical activity from the gut in patients with gut diseases, and trying to capture, if you like, signatures in the electrical activity that can tell us what's wrong with their gut functions. And hopefully we can then, if you like, resuscitate or regulate these gut activities to recover aspects of the gut functions in these patients.
So you talk a little bit about the idea of training the gut through these electrical signals and to I guess be healthier or fix some of the problems perhaps that is going on there. How does that work?
So there are a number of ways in which we could make this work. You know, because it's an electrical event, we can actually train the body through the brain, I'll talk about that soon, to invoke or generate activity in the gut. So one aspect about the gut is that it's tightly connected to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very what we call the brain-gut axis, if you like. So one of the ways we can regulate gut functions is by what we call neuromodulation. So this is training the neural pathways in the brain to change the functions in the gut. So there's a little stimulator that we can clip onto the patient's ear, and we can administer a little bit of electrical pulses, and these pulses can then train the brain to tell the gut to start its electrical activity, by which then we can change the functions of the gut.
That's so interesting. I think for most people, you wouldn't necessarily think about the gut and the brain having such a close relationship, but that sounds like a really crucial part of this research.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is an area that we are beginning to explore more and more. The sort of interconnect between different organs in the human body, but especially between the gut and the brain. This is also relevant in some of the very well-known diseases as well, such as the Parkinson's.
That's so interesting. So what's next for your research? Where are you at the moment, and what's the next step?
So there are really two frontiers that we are trying to explore. The first frontier is to look at reliable detection of the abnormalities in the gut. Because currently, after a few visits to the GP, you can't really figure out what's wrong with your gut. The current benchmark is what we call the gastric emptying test. Which mm-hmm. involves, you know, eating a radioactive meal and sit under a scanner for 4 hours. I mean, it sounds really scary, but the dosage is relatively low. And but it is quite a protracted process, and you do need to go into a hospital setting for a long period of time. So currently we are looking at a way to non-invasively detect this electrical signature from the body surface. So that's one way. The second frontier is to look at developing what we call a closed loop system to change the activity of the gut. So this is something we just talked about, invoking changes in the gut through stimulating the neurons in the brain. So by detecting the activity in the gut, if we tell what's wrong with the gut, then mm-hmm. we can administer the correct stimulation protocols then to change the activity in the gut, and then the monitoring device can be used to tell whether that activity has been changed.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Peng. It's been really great
awesome.
To talk to you, Associate Professor Peng Du from the Auckland Bioengineering Institute. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday.
Yeah, too, Rachel. Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
Thank you.